and who not only can but will appeal to the latent and discouraged power of artistic creation in our race. Suppose we have a king who understands the need for incessant, acute criticism to keep our collective activities intelligent and efficient, and for a flow of bold, unhampered thought through every department of the national life, a king liberal without laxity and patriotic without pettiness or vulgarity. Such, it seems to us, who wait at present almost inexpressibly outside the immediate clamours of a mere artificial loyalty, are the splendid possibilities of the time. For England is no exhausted or decaying country. It is rich with an unmeasured capacity for generous responses. It is a country burdened indeed, but not overwhelmed, by the gigantic responsibilities of empire, a little relaxed by wealth, and hampered rather than enslaved by a certain shyness of temperament, a certain habitual timidity, slovenliness, and insincerity of mind. It is a little distrustful of intellectual power and enterprise, a little awkward and ungracious to brave and beautiful things, a little too tolerant of dull, well-meaning and industrious men and arrogant old women. It suffers hypocrites gladly, because its criticism is poor, and it is wastefully harsh to frank unorthodoxy.